Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at ByHeart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Hey, 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 it is a birth story episode. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a board-certified OBGYN who's been in practice for nearly 15 years. I've had the privilege of helping over 1,000 babies into this world, and I'm here to help you be calm, confident, and empowered to have a beautiful pregnancy and birth. Quick note, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 148. Thank you for being here with me today. In this episode, we have a little bit of a different birth story episode with Taylor. Taylor is a para educator, mom, and business owner from Kansas City, Missouri. She enjoys helping special needs students in school and ending the day by snuggling up for a movie with her own three girls and her husband, too. In her free time, she enjoys crafting, which she actually has turned into a business, spending time with her girls, and getting outdoors with her husband. This birth story is a little different because we're going to talk a bit about all three of Taylor's births. Now, even before we talk about the births, actually the first thing we touch upon is how in her late teens, Taylor was told that she had a severe case of PCOS and that it would be nearly impossible for her to get pregnant. This is someone who she herself will describe how she didn't have toy, you know, imaginary friends. She had imaginary kids, so this was a lot for her to deal with. That thankfully turned out not to be the case, and she went on to have three girls, and we're going to talk about all of those pregnancies and births. In her first pregnancy, she had gallstones and had to manage gallstone attacks. And then after she got discharged from the hospital, was back in the hospital just a few hours later, having her gallbladder removed. Her second pregnancy was pretty straightforward. That baby was a couple weeks early. And the only thing that happened then is that the nurse didn't listen to her when she said she better call the doctor because it doesn't take her long to push. And in her third, she actually discovered that she had an abnormal pap test that had severely abnormal precancerous cells that were just the step before cervical cancer. And then also she let a student deliver her baby girl for her third and final delivery. Now, even with all that, Taylor actually had pretty easy births. All of her labors were under 6 hours, and she pushed for less than 30 minutes, including 1 9-pound baby. As a matter of fact, her mother told her that she should not share her stories because everyone would hate her. And that's not true. We're not going to hate her. I wanted her to share her story because I want you to know that easy births absolutely can and do happen. And then also talk about some of the other things that can pop up during pregnancy and birth too. Her stories are really a metaphor for life, in my opinion. You have some good moments, you have some not good moments, and we all have to work at managing that. Now, before we get into the episode, let me tell you a quick story. In my birth plan class, Make a Birth Plan the Right Way, one of the questions that I tell people to ask, and in that class, you learn a bunch of questions so you know that the doctors and nurses actually support what's in your birth plan. That's way more than just like Googling a form. One of the questions I tell folks to ask is, what is your cesarean rate? And one of the students came back and told me that her doctor told her that he has a cesarean section rate of 70 to 80%, meaning 70 to 80% of his patients have a cesarean. That number really should be under 25%. And she never would have known this and would not have had the opportunity to change to a different doctor if she hadn't taken the class, hadn't got the questions to ask. So now I want you to go take the class too. Again, it's How to Make a Birth Plan the Right Way. It's drnicolerankins.com/register. You get several other questions to ask, tips for how to get your doctors and nurses to pay attention to your birth plan, as well as what to include. So again, this drnicolerankins.com/register. Go take the class now so you are not messing with somebody who has a 70 to 80% C-section rate. All right, let's get into the birth story episode with Taylor. Thank you so much, Taylor, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. Y'all, me and Taylor went back and forth and back and forth about getting this scheduled. You have no idea. So I'm so glad that we were finally able to get it together.
Yeah, I'm excited. It was definitely a ringer, but we made it work.
Yes, we did. All right. So why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and your family?
Well, let's see. I live in Missouri. I've got three beautiful little girls, a fantastic husband. We've kind of been through it all. I work at the school here in town and pretty simple small town girl here. There's not much exciting to go off of.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And I always appreciate a family of three girls. I'm from a family of three girls.
That's all the power to everybody that only has one gender of children. Yes. We're donezo with all of that.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I have a girlfriend. One of my close girlfriends has three boys. So I know that exactly what you mean. All right. So we're actually going to get into a little bit about all three of your births because there are highlights from each of them that I wanted to talk about. But first, I want to start with talking about the fact that you were told that because you have PCOS, and for those who don't know, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, that because of your PCOS, it would be nearly impossible for you to get pregnant. How, and obviously you did get pregnant, and we'll get into that, but at the time, how did that make you feel?
So when I was initially told that, it was during my previous marriage, and he and I were trying to start our family. I was young and I had always been under the assumption that it would be, you know, oh, you get married, you have babies, like, mm-hmm. the simple process and you just like wham, bam, like you get it and it's done. I never mm-hmm. really thought about not having the option or it not being a possibility. And from a young age, my mother would always joke, and she would be like, you always ran around and you didn't have imaginary friends. You had imaginary kids and you had 100 of them. Mm. They didn't have names. They were numbered. Right. Like, here's right. kid 1, 2, 3. And so it was just, it was something that I had always dreamed of. So when I was told that I was on the higher end of the PCOS spectrum and it would be nearly impossible for me to have kids, like, I remember just calling my husband at the time and just breaking down. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, where do we go from here? I was heartbroken.
Right. Sure.
And then shortly after that, it was later on that year, we needed to go our separate ways from some wrongdoings that
it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so I found out a month after I left him that I was pregnant with my first.
Doesn't that just feel like, why? Like,
It was just, it was a tricky situation, and I am very happy to say that he is not in the picture at all in that aspect. And I'm very fortunate that my husband takes over as her daddy and her eyes, and that's all that matters to us. Sure. So everything worked out for the best, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, did you have any trouble getting pregnant with the other two?
No. So, Macy, our second baby, I was terrified to have sex after Tucker. Like, I did not want to get pregnant again.
So you were like, I'ma just like, please don't, because happened and it wasn't supposed to.
Absolutely. I was like, I don't wanna deal with this right now. But here comes Macy, and our girls are 14 months apart. So, but yeah, it was no problem there.
Clearly, like, I really wish, and the reason I brought this question up is because I really wish, and I want everybody to hear that obstetricians and gynecologists, we need to stop telling people this. I mean, we can tell people that it can be challenging, it may be difficult, but it can still happen. So don't think that the chances are zero, because none of us ever know for sure.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that.
Yes, 100%. Back in the day when my girls were born, it was not easy to share photos and videos with loved ones, but you have a fantastic option available, the Family Album app. The Family Album app was created in 2015 and has operated in the long term to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with loved ones. It's a totally secure personal haven for your family's memories. I love that there's no third-party ads, no unwanted eyes. Now, let me share some of the great features that make the Family Album app a go-to app. First off, the app automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and see how your child has grown. No more scrolling through endless feeds or searching through folders. Another cool feature about the Family Album app is you can order 8 free photo prints every month to be delivered to your home. It's really nice to have some tangible pictures to hold onto or share to document each month of your baby's life. Plus, the Family Album app has unlimited storage and it is totally free. Yes, you heard that right. No more worrying about running out of space or being bombarded by ads when you're just trying to relive those heartwarming moments. So if you are still trying to use other messaging apps for your kids' photos, it is time to level up your family photo game with a free photo sharing app. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, it's all one word, download the app, and start creating a legacy of love one photo at a time. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your first pregnancy. So with your first pregnancy, you had problems with gallstones. What was that like for you?
At first, I was really... I mean, it was my first pregnancy and she was my first baby. So I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to expect. And I remember I was over at a friend's house. I was staying with a couple of girlfriends of mine and I was hunched over on the kitchen floor And they were all like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? Like, do we need to go to the hospital? What is going on? And I was like, I don't know, but I cannot breathe. Like, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. And so I was just in the fetal position on the kitchen floor. And then it finally like subsided and I went about my day. And then a couple months later, I was with my mother and my family, and I had the same thing happen after dinner one night. And so I went upstairs and I got in bed with my mom, and I was just laying there crying. And she was like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I am in so much pain. I cannot breathe. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I don't know. And she had my dad take me to the hospital, and they, you know, they admitted me and they did all the ultrasounds and the x-rays or MRIs or whatever it is that they were doing. And they were like, oh yeah, you've got gallstones. We'll have to do gallbladder surgery after you deliver, and like everything will be fine. We'll wait until you're at your like postpartum checkup to try to do it.
And how far along were you at that point when they told you that you would eventually need to get it? Do you remember?
I was in my early 30s weeks.
Okay. Okay.
I think I was just about to my weekly appointments.
Okay. So you didn't have too much long left. Okay.
And I think that was probably the hardest part, was because how are you going to tell a big old pregnant woman that she can't eat the food that she wants to eat? Like, I'm living on Taco Bell and you're saying not anymore. But then I had a couple more attacks right after I gave birth to Tucker, my oldest, and she, I had to miss a couple of feedings with her because I was so desperate to try and breastfeed, because I wanted that connection and that, you know, just that, I guess, power, you could say.
Right.
But she was a 9-pound baby, so she was starving from the, like, straight out the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I was discharged, I got home, ate, took a shower. As soon as I got out of the shower, I had another attack, and my dad had to take me back to the hospital, and they took it out that very next day. It was intense.
Oh, so there was no waiting for this 6-week postpartum recovery business.
No, not at all.
Left the hospital and then came back, you said just a few hours later.
Yeah. I was back.
Wow. How did that go for you?
I mean, it was okay. I think the hardest part was just knowing that my baby was not with me and she was with my mom. I couldn't have her there with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it sucked having to have my mom bring her up there to see me, which she was more than happy to do. It just, you know, you're supposed to go home. You're supposed to be with your baby.
Sure.
You're supposed to start your life. And I got put on hold for 2 days because my body couldn't get itself in check, I guess.
Oh, so you were recovering from having a 9-pound baby. And did you have stitches or anything, or any tears? Or
she did. I had 2 stitches with her.
Okay. So thankfully not a ton. So, so you're recovering from having a baby and recovering from gallbladder surgery at the same time.
Correct. Yep.
Well, what was that like for you?
I honestly don't think I have any complaints about recovering from any of my births, just because my mom always tells me, she's like, you should not share your birth story because these women are going to hate you when they hear how easy you had it. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'll just push all of my birth juju out on everybody else.
Yeah, we love it.
Like, I would love for everybody to have the births that I do. I have zero complaints, honestly.
Okay. Well, that's good. That is good to know. I think it's important for people to know the possibilities. Like, it's entirely possible for you to have normal, easy labors and births.
Yes. And that's I feel like you never hear about that. You only hear about the scary, like, my epidural didn't work. I felt everything. I was in labor for my best friend. She was in labor for like 4 days before they finally gave her a C-section. Like, it's insane. You never hear about the, like, yeah, it was good. It was easy. They came right out. Perfect.
Okay. All right. And then, I guess I should back up and say, was the labor itself easy for you too?
Oh yeah. I have like I said, I have zero complaints. I kind of just, the nurses I had with my oldest were, they were fantastic. Like, they were like talking me through the whole thing. They were saying, okay, well, you should start to feel something like this. And then I would feel it. And they're like, okay, now we're at this point and we're going to get to this point. So if you feel like you're needing to do this, or if you feel uncomfortable in this way, let us know. And I mean, I can't even remember her name, but she was probably one of the most God-sent people that I have could have ever had in my delivery room with me.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And did you have epidurals or no?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You said like those.
You said yes. Definitely. Gotcha. 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 All right. All right. So despite having the gallbladder attacks and gallbladder surgery afterwards, things were otherwise pretty much pretty smooth.
Yep. Everything was easy peasy.
Love it. Love it. So then for your second pregnancy, again, you said everything went smoothly. And then things at the time of the birth were a little bit tricky. What happened then?
So I knew I was going into labor. Like, we were 2 weeks early, which was fine just because I anticipated what I was doing. Like, I went on a walk, husband and I did the fun things. Like, we were ready for Macy to get here. And I go in there and they're like, yeah, like, you're at, I think they said 3 or 4 centimeters dilated. We'll get Dr. Eggers in here and she'll take a look at you. And so she came in and she was like, oh yeah, you're perfect. I'm just gonna break your water for you and we'll just get it taken care of. And I was like, fantastic. And so then we had a shift change. So I wasn't seeing Dr. Eggers anymore and it was a different doctor. So, and I hadn't seen him before in the clinic. And so the nurses, they gave me like the, okay, well, tell me if you feel like you have to poop so we know if you, like, it's time to push. And I was like, all right, fantastic. So I told them when it happened and the nurse was like, okay, well, I'm going to have you start, you know, pushing and doing your practice pushes. And I was like, you don't want me to do that. And she was like, no, it'll be fine. Like, we'll get everything ready. You do your practice pushes and then we'll get Dr. Tegler in here. And I was like, I promise you, like, you really don't want me to start pushing yet. Right. This baby's going to fly out.
Right.
And they're like, no, I promise. It's okay. We're right here. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I started doing my pushing and doctor finally comes in and I was doing like, I was not giving my full throttle pushes. Like, I knew, I knew better. And so when Dr. Tegler came in, he, was like, all right, we're here to have a baby. And then he looks and he goes, whoa, stop pushing. And I was like, yeah, I told him they didn't listen to me. And he's like, okay, gloves. And he's like, one more push and she's here. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Right. And it's like, I told y'all that I know how to push a baby out.
That's, I'm telling you, like, I know how it works.
Right. So he barely made it with getting the gloves and, did he even get dressed or get, or just very quickly catch the baby?
I don't remember that much. I just gotcha. Know that he was screaming for gloves and then there she was.
And there she was. And how much does she weigh?
She was 2 weeks early. She was 6'9".
Okay. So, and definitely so a lot smaller. So, probably did you push less with her than you did with the first one?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I tore it all with her. Okay. She was so tiny.
Okay. Yeah. So again, fairly quick labor, birth. What about the postpartum recovery?
Yeah, everything was easy. I don't think we had, the only trouble that we had with Macy was she was very jaundiced. And so she had to be put on like that glow worm light thing. But they sent her pediatrician sent that home with us. So she didn't have to spend any time in the NICU. Everything was smooth sailing. She was the only one that had some afterbirth like troubles, but
gotcha.
That was it.
Gotcha. Oh, and I forgot to ask, did you end up resuming breastfeeding? Like, were you able to get that back going once you got out of the hospital?
No, I wasn't. was eating so much from the time that she came out that I just could not keep up. And she was so fussy and so miserable. And I gave in the towel. Like, we were still in the hospital and I gave in the towel. It broke my heart. But I was like, I need this baby fed because I cannot.
Gotcha.
I can't stand to hear her screaming and crying.
Gotcha. 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 And then did you try to breastfeed with the second?
We did. I did with Macy and we made it. Let me think. I think she was about 4 months.
Nice, 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 nice. So different experience the second time around then with breastfeeding for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, during your third pregnancy, you were diagnosed with an abnormal pap test and you had to see an oncologist. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And a GYN oncologist, I presume. And an oncologist, for those listening, is a cancer doctor. So tell us about that experience.
That was definitely probably one of the scariest moments that I think I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. All I remember is getting a phone call saying, like, your pap came back abnormal. We need you to come in so we can do a biopsy. And that resulted in them saying that I had CIN3,
mm-hmm.
which from what I can remember from the research that I did, it was basically like I had HPV that wasn't diagnosed and nothing was done. So it just progressed and progressed and progressed. And I was at like the final stage before it would have turned into cervical cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was on overdrive with that on top of being overly hormonal from just being pregnant in general. And one of the main things that stuck out was I remember my doctor, she was my favorite out of the three that I had.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that she was like, I don't know how this didn't get caught with your other two pregnancies. Like, this has been here for years. And I was like, well, that makes me feel great. Thanks.
Oh my God. Had you had PAPs before and it just didn't show up? Or
no, it did. I had had abnormal PAPs with both Tucker and Macy when I went for my initial visit, and they were like, no, abnormal PAPs are common with the beginning of pregnancy. We'll just check you after. And nothing ever happened at my postpartum appointments. So I was like, yeah, everything. I just assumed everything was good.
Oh, okay. That did not make you, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I can't even get it out.
I know. It's, yep.
How did that make you? And obviously your doctor kept it real. She was like, this should have been caught beforehand.
I mean, it was awful. It honestly felt like you were just part of their day. Like you were just being pushed through the door. Like,
right.
They didn't really care. This is you're their paycheck and they want to get you in, get you out so they can go home. Which, I mean, I get it. There are days like that, but I feel like there's no way that two different doctors had the same coincidental day on my situation. You know what I mean? Like it was very apparent that they didn't really care about their patients like the way that my OB did at the time.
Hmm. So was it a different practice with your other pregnancies?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel like it was because, do you feel like they treated you differently because you were young or because?
Oh, absolutely. I was only 20 when I got pregnant with Tucker. So I was fresh out of high school. I was newly, you know, married and divorced. And so I'm sure that had a lot to play in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So then you ended up having to go see, so you got diagnosed with the abnormal pap smear and I'm guessing in the early part of pregnancy with the CIN3. And then immediately you got sent to the oncologist, fairly shortly thereafter?
Yeah, I think there was about a month of me trying to get in with an appointment just because the oncology department was so far booked out.
Okay.
And okay. I could only see like one of two different providers. So I had to wait for one of their schedules to open up.
Okay. Okay. And then when you saw them, what was that conversation and discussion like?
So I actually ended up seeing both of the options that Dr. Heisman had recommended to me. The first lady that I went to, she was absolutely horrible. I called my OB office crying and I was like, I need the number to the other lady. Like, I cannot see this woman again because she was just so awful.
Oh my, what was so bad about it, if you don't mind me asking?
So I had my husband and my mom with me because, well, A, I wanted my husband with me, and B, my mom just, you know how moms are. They ask like sure. certain questions that yeah. you can't think of in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to ask just, I felt like basic questions. And I was, one of them was, okay, well, does my husband have anything to worry about? Like, if I am dealing with this now, like, are there symptoms or anything that he needs to be concerned or on the lookout for? And she laughed and told me that I could Google it and just kind of went about trying to get me out of the office. Like I was the least of her worries.
Are you serious? She told you you could Google it.
Uh-huh. And the assistant that was in there with her laughed as well. And so I was just like, at that point, like I was fuming and we left and my husband was like, I'm literally sweating with how irritated that woman made me. And I was like, uh-huh, we're not going back there ever again.
Oh my God, that is terrible.
Yeah, she was horrible.
Wow. So, and were they in the same practice?
No, they were from different hospitals.
Oh, got it. Okay. So it wasn't like once you left her, it wasn't like there was a possibility you could see her again. You could.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
I drove across state line to see this second lady. Like I was not risking that one.
Oh my, how far did you have to drive?
It was probably about an hour and a half.
Wow. That's just really upsetting. You know, I mean, I'm really glad that you did the right thing. You know, you kept going until you found someone who worked for you, but obviously it shouldn't be that way. As an OBGYN and podcast host, I'm excited to share a resource that empowers mothers and mothers-to-be in managing their pelvic floor and core health. It's called Informed Pregnancy Plus, and it offers access to essential workshops that can significantly enhance your understanding and care of your body during and after pregnancy. Discover The Core Connection, a foundational 5-episode series by Natalie Headings, a pre-postnatal exercise specialist. This series covers the basics of pelvic floor health, teaches key postural adjustments, and shows you how to activate your core properly. For a more comprehensive experience, check out Mindful Movement. This premium series provides in-depth content, including practical exercises and personalized strategies to strengthen your body. It's like having a pelvic health expert in your home. You can try the full subscription streaming library of Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free. Visit informedpregnancy.tv to start an empowered journey toward a healthier motherhood. Take this step for your health, your body, and your baby will thank you. So then how were things when you saw the second one?
It was like night and day different. She was amazing. She was super sweet. She answered all of our questions. I had my oldest with me that day as well. Okay. So it was my mom, my oldest, and then my husband. And she was, you know, she was playing with my daughter. Like she was more than accommodating. The nurses were all super sweet. She genuinely made it feel like no question was a stupid question. And I felt like I could tell that she actually cared about my concerns and could tell that I was genuinely concerned and that I wasn't just trying to make a big deal out of something that was a small deal to her because it was a big deal to me. You know
what I mean? Right. Absolutely. So then what was the plan that was determined for how you needed to be monitored during your pregnancy and then what happened afterwards?
So basically we figured out that, it wasn't growing at a rapid pace and it wasn't spreading. So we could we wouldn't have to do anything during the pregnancy. We could wait until after I delivered. So we waited until, I think it was my 8-week checkup, and we did another biopsy, made sure that everything was still decent and the same as what it was prior. And then we scheduled a LEAP procedure to kind of like just get rid of all of the yucky spots that were causing everything to be so messed up.
Yeah. I mean, basically a LEAP is like, it takes out for lack of a better way to say it, it removes a good sized portion of your cervix.
Yes. And basically with that, they waited until my 8-week postpartum appointment. They went in and did another biopsy just to make sure that nothing had spread more and that there were more areas that they needed to take. And everything came back, I say good on that aspect. So we just scheduled the appointment for my surgery. We decided that we were absolutely done having babies, just because Hadley was probably the most difficult child I think that anyone could ever have. So I was like, on my consult call, I was like, can we
just need to wrap this all up.
Yes.
one stop shopping. Let's go ahead and get this done.
Yeah. She was like, absolutely. That's no problem. I'm already in there. Let's just knock it out. And I was like, all right, fantastic.
And what was so difficult about your third, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh my gosh. She is her dad's child. I don't know. She's fussy. She's a whiner. She was never happy with anything. She was always crying, always just, I don't know. She wasn't nothing like the first two. All I know.
And of course, you still love her all the same, but it was enough for you all to be like, we're good. We're done.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, don't you want a boy? And I'm like, nope. We got a boy dog and a boy cat. We are good to go.
There you go. There you go. And did you have any... But her birth itself wasn't, you know, once you found out you could get the follow-up afterwards, the rest of your pregnancy was pretty uneventful and your labor and birth were uneventful.
Yep. Everything was smooth sailing just like the other two. No problems.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Now, I know with the third one, you allowed a student to participate in your birth. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So what led you to agree to that?
The student was a gentleman, and he was always there at the appointment. So anytime Dr. Heisman would come in, they would always, you know, give the, I've got a student with me today. Is that okay? And I don't care. You know what I mean? Everybody else has already been down there in my business. Why not?
Taylor, you crack me up.
Don't make no difference to me. My husband didn't care.
Oh, he
wanted his baby.
Right.
I was like, yeah, that's cool. And she was like, so I think we're going to, based off of, this is what the doctor said. She said, I think based off of what you have told me about your other two births, I think you're the perfect candidate. It'll be like a nice, easy introduction for him into like the birthing world. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. I don't care.
Right.
And so they let me schedule my induction for 39 weeks. So I was a week early with Hadley.
Okay.
And I remember we specifically scheduled it so that he would be there. Because he was like, I'm so excited to be able to do this. And then he told me the day of, he was like, I didn't want to tell you this before, but I feel like we're on this level now. Like, you're going to be my first. And I was like, oh, I got you. Like, we're good. you're gonna soar.
Right.
I mean, it was as simple as the others. I went in for my induction. Once labor legitimately started, it was the same, like 4 to 5 hours, pushing for 10, 20 minutes. And that was it.
So you just made his whole day.
Well, I remember my husband came back from, he was, I think, getting a snack or something. And he comes back in, he goes, I just ran into your nurse doctor outside, or your student doctor. I said, oh yeah. And he goes, yeah. He looked at me and he was like, your wife wasn't kidding. Those babies fly out. I was like, I told him.
Oh, goodness. Love it. Love it. Love it. Oh, now, looking back on anything, is there anything that you wish you would have done differently about any of your births?
I think the only thing that I genuinely wish I would have done differently was I wish I would have had the same doctor for the first two as I did for the third.
Gotcha. Because it was a big difference, it sounds like.
It really was. Like, I didn't have any issues with my first two doctors. I don't have anything negative to say. I don't feel like I received the care that Dr. Heisman gave me, basically. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't anything like substantial.
Gotcha. And then just to wrap up, what is the one thing or one piece of advice that you would tell other women as they get ready for their births?
I feel like this is the most wonderful piece of advice that anybody can ever give anything, but it's also the one thing that nobody actually follows through with. Just don't overthink it. Don't overthink anything, or that you're doing something wrong, or what if this happens, or what if this could happen? You're just going to stress yourself out. Just let it happen. Let it be. You'll figure out as you go. And a lot of people say you can't do that with babies and with childbirth, but yeah, you can. You absolutely can. Just work your way through it. Talk to the people who know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And just take advice along the way and choose what's best for you. Don't let anybody tell you you can or cannot do something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's excellent life advice, actually. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. Like I said, you are funny and I have enjoyed this conversation. I know you keep it real all the time.
Well, there's no point to go through life and, you know, just wiggle your way around everything.
I hear you.
Be real and get it going and get out of the way. If they don't like it, they'll move.
There you go. There you go. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Wasn't that a great episode? Taylor is funny and I really enjoyed chatting with her. She had me laughing during the conversation in the background. All right. Now, you know, after every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Nicole's Notes, and I have a bunch of Nicole's notes from my conversation with Taylor. Number one, I wanted to tell you that I do have a podcast episode about gallbladder disease and pregnancy. That's episode 128 with a friend of mine who I went to college with, Dr. George Crawford, and we talk all things gallbladder and pregnancy in that episode. That's drnicolerankins.com/episode128 if you want to hear that. So that's episode, the word, and then 128, and we'll link that in the show notes. Number two, remember that fed is best. Taylor mentioned how she had difficulty breastfeeding her first, but remember, fed is best. And then also know that if it doesn't work out the first time, you can try again. She was able to successfully breastfeed her other children. So even if breastfeeding doesn't work out the first time, definitely give it a try again, but always fed is best. Okay, next point or next Nicole's note is that students can really be enjoyable. Sometimes they're so eager and excited to be a part of the birth experience. So consider, you know, when you have the opportunity to have students available or in a birth, that you can decide how much they are involved or not involved. You don't necessarily have to have the student do the delivery, but even being in the room for them can be really, really enjoyable and meaningful. And we all at some point were students when we had to learn. I do have a downloadable guide on my website at drnicolerankins.com/resources, where there's a list of questions you can ask and you can get an idea for how involved students and resident physicians are in a birth if you want to. But think about considering allowing students to be involved because it's really meaningful and it helps the next generation of medical professionals to learn. Okay. And then the last thing I will say, I take that back. Two more points. Number one is that was absolutely atrocious that she had two abnormal pap smears during her pregnancy and those results weren't followed up. And I obviously am not blaming Taylor in any way, shape, or form, but keep an eye on your own lab results and things because you can't always necessarily rely on your doctor to do it for you. So make sure you keep an eye on those things, blood work, make sure you actually see the results, Don't go by the no news is good news policy. Make sure you see the things and look at them yourself. These days with electronic health records and some recent laws that were passed, you have access to really all of your lab results as soon as the results come back. So sign up for those patient portals, look at your lab results yourself, and then ask about follow-up for anything that's abnormal. Okay, and then the final Nicole's note is lots of people have easy births. It is totally possible that you could have an easy birth. So know that that may be possible for you. It may not be, but it definitely may be possible. And one of the things that helps make birth easier is being prepared with great childbirth education. That, of course, is what happens inside the birth preparation course, my online childbirth education class that gets you calm, confident, and empowered to have the most beautiful birth. Check out all the details of the birth preparation course at drnicolerankins.com/enroll. All right, so there you have it. Do me a favor. Number one, share this episode with a friend or share the podcast with a friend if you like it. And number two, subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to me right now. And if you are so inclined, leave an honest review in Apple Podcast in particular. I love to see what folks have to say about the show and it helps the show to grow. And one more thing. Come follow me over on Instagram. If you like social media, that's where I hang out in the social media streets. You can find me there at Dr. Nicole Rankins. We can continue the conversation after the show over there. All right, so that's it for this episode. Do come on back next week. And remember, you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.